Hello everyone, my name's Chris, I'm an alcoholic. This past year has been a wild ride. It was boring in the beginning, then I met a friend and they multiplied by like hundreds, and like even when sobriety started to get really like blah, I could always call my friend at like 4 o'clock in the morning and be like, hey, what's up, man? You know, I'm crazy out of my head. And he'd be like, yep, I know the feeling. And he did that for me for a while. We rode around in a minivan, shot flare guns. It was crazy. Good times. Introducing Damien.
My name's Damien, I'm an alcoholic. Yeah, it's fun, it's flare guns. Yep. That's what I do when I'm unwatched. My name's Damien, I'm an alcoholic. I have a sponsor. I'm willing to sponsor others. My sobriety date is January 28th of 2006, and this is my home group, and has been my home group since I got a home group, and I've had the same sponsor since I got sober, and he stuck with me through some relapses, and I'd like to thank Chris for asking me to speak, and to tell you the truth, he asked me last night at about midnight, and I don't know if he's up between speakers or what, but it's pretty, if anybody knows Chris, you know that things happen at midnight, and he just goes with them. He just kind of puts things through at that time, but that's not my job to tell you about. You can figure that out for yourself. My job is come up here and tell you what happened, what it's like, now, and I don't know. Yeah, I mean, it's been crazy, crazy, crazy. I grew up in an alcoholic home, I suppose, and I can't call them alcoholics, but I can tell you that my dad drinks. You know, I mean, he's got like 5 open container charges, and to this day, like, he just drinks in the back of his truck when he gets off work, and they arrest him for it, and he goes to court. And it's kind of weird. You figured he'd start drinking in a house, but my mom is a little crazy. You know, I mean, my dad's always been able to keep a job, and he drinks like a fish, and then, but he wakes up in the morning. And the difference between me and him is my dad can drink until he passes out and then get up at 6 a.m. in the morning and go to work and work all day and do it all over again. Now, when I start drinking, I don't know when I stop, and, I learned that to be the phenomenon of craving. And, I envy him for that. You know what I mean? I envy those people who can just drink, and then the next day, they just go back to what they were doing like nothing happened. And I don't have that in me, I come to find out. And I don't know. You know what I mean? I just wanted to fit in as a kid, and I didn't much. You know what I mean? I always thought I was different, which you hear a lot, and I didn't feel like other people felt. And, when I was young, I was about... I was about 12, and my parents got divorced, and I have one brother, and at that time, and now I have what happened is my parents got divorced, and I stayed with my mom, and my dad went with his new girlfriend, and my mom went between boyfriends, and what happened is my mom would pick up these boyfriends in the bar, and me and my brother would watch my mom get beat for a while, and you know what I mean? And what would happen is she'd find a guy at the bar and he'd beat the living crap out of her. And then my brother would take care of it, and she'd move on to another guy who'd beat the living crap out of her. And And she's just picking up these guys off bar stools and drinking like fish. And this is what I watched as a kid. And all I wanted to do was be like my brother, because his friends were cool and they were chilling at the park and they were drinking and they were doing craziness. So, I tried to chill with them and they beat the shit out of me. That's what I, I would go and I would hang out with them, and they just beat on me, and and all I wanted to do was fit in. Every once in a while I get this spurt of like I felt like they did, and I'd drink with them, and I'd feel like a part of their group, and that's all I wanted, and I would get that in these spurts, but not for long. And what happened is I realized I wanted to live with my dad because I was visiting him every couple weekends. I'd get to go see him. And my stepmom had a son and a daughter. And I would go over there, and I basically was given two friends automatically. And, I mean, it was kind of like by default. They lived there. I went over there. I had two friends. Cool. So I would do that, and I wanted to live over there, and my mom would not let my dad have custody. So what happened is I realized the only way that I could get my mom to give me up was to be a complete terror. And boy, did I work hard at it. You know what I mean? I stopped going to school, and I was skipping school, and I was fighting, and Lloyd wanted me to tell you I stabbed a kid in the eye with a pencil. My first act of racism as a kid, because my brother was a racist, which I forgot to put out there, but a little kid called me a cracker. I stabbed him in the eye with a pencil. And, yeah, I mean, this is like the behavior I took on as a child, and I learned it from my brother, because he was violent. And it wasn't right, obviously. Most people would realize it's not right, but it felt right to me. Yeah, I mean, it felt right because it made me feel like you felt, and you being anybody besides me. You know what I mean? Because I felt like everybody else had groups of friends, and everybody else had it going on, but I didn't feel like them. So I messed up a lot. My mom gave me my dad. I moved over there. I learned to steal cars, did some of that. I learned to steal things and take things and lie and cheat and do everything I needed to get what I wanted. And I also learned to drink. My first drunk, I was about 12, and I got drunk, blacked out. Craziness happened. It is what it is. I don't remember anything about it except for the fact that I felt good. You know what I mean? I remember that I felt like nobody was a problem. I felt like you felt. I felt like everybody was my friend. And that was good for me. And that's all I wanted. You know what I mean? And I chased that feeling until I couldn't find it anymore. You know what I mean? And that's what alcohol does for me. Now, I didn't understand at that point, at point A, that at some point in time, that wanting to be a part of would turn into me having to be a part of. You know what I mean? There was no point between I want to be like them and being like them to going back to what I was and being okay with it. Because once I got a taste of, you know what I mean, feeling a part of, I didn't want to leave that. And, yeah, I mean, little did I know my future would unfold to where I would need to drink. And I would start to steal everything from everybody who cared about me and become a terror in the lives of everybody who cared. And that's how my story unfolds, you know what I mean? And so I moved in with my mom, and with my dad, I'm sorry. And I became a terror over there. And I got arrested for some petty thefts and some thefts and some craziness. And I'm living in Port Tampa now, and I start to sell drugs, and because I needed money. What for? What I don't know. Probably to drink, you know. And I know he's going to just give me money. So I'm stealing things to get alcohol money and get drug money, and I start to use drugs that allow me to drink more. And I'm starting to drink every day, and I'm not even 18 yet, so, yeah, I mean, I'm a daily drinker, about 16, 17 years old, and I don't know how to act, and my parents don't know how to take care of this problem I have, because I can't tell you the truth, because the truth is I don't know how to deal with life, and I don't want you to know that. So if you ask me how I'm doing, I'm good, but I'm ruining the lives of everybody around me, and they don't know what to do about it. So, yeah, I mean, I went to a couple counselors when I was younger, and I got kicked out of a couple schools. And over time, the only thing that was working anymore was drinking. And, yeah, I mean, I would push everybody away that cared about me. And what was happening is my stepmom and my dad would start to have stopped having fights about them, and they started having fights about me. And little by little, one by one, my entire family moved out of our house we were at for 13 years. And I literally pushed my entire family out of our home. And first my brother moved out, and he moved to Utah for some girl he met on the internet. And then, yeah, real crazy. But then my sister moved out, and for some boyfriend she was dating who did lots of drugs. And then my stepmom moved out and left my dad. Next thing you know, it's just me and my dad. And they all left because I don't know how to act. You know what I mean? My stepmom cornered me one day and tried to help me, and she just said, "Damien, what are you doing with yourself? You need help." And I said, "Just back away." And I was wasted. And she's like, "You just need to go to school, and you need to do what you're supposed to do." And I proceeded to turn around, and I ripped the framing off the window, and I was going to stab her with it. I was going to stab her with it. And my dad was like, "What are you doing?" You know what I mean? And I was like, "Just get away." Because I just want everybody to go away. And, you know what I mean? I didn't have a solution. You know what I mean? And I just wanted to run away and drink. So I did. You know what I mean? And, that was the point. I'm pretty sure that was the last straw of, like, stepmom doing with me to be with my dad. And she moved away. You know what I mean? She moved to another state, and it's just me and my dad, and we're doing drugs together now because he's pissed off because he's got nothing left because I chased everybody out. And I'm throwing keg parties at the house to pay the bills. My dad moves out because he can't deal with it. And pretty soon it's just me. And then next thing you know, it's... the bills aren't paid, so I'm evicted by the police. And then I'm homeless. And then I'm sleeping on benches. And that's cool, by the way, if anybody wants to check that out. You know what I mean? Alcoholism can do that to you. But I start sleeping on benches. And I'm about 18 years old. And I get through with some friends. And I start to sell some drugs to take care of things. And I get locked up for some drugs. Over in Clearwater Beach, and I get locked up, and I get out, and some friends take care of me, and I rob them, and they kick me out, and then I violate for cocaine, and then I get out, and I get drunk. Like, I would get out, and people would celebrate by buying me bottles, like, when I got out. So I'd be drunk the minute I got out of jail. And, you know what I mean? As soon as I had enough money to buy drugs, I'd be on drugs again. And, I went through this cycle, and every time the cycle would go through, I'd lose another friend, and I'd lose another person that cared about me, because I'd rob and steal from everybody. So pretty soon, I'd just get locked up, and I'd have no one to call, and nothing. Like, I would sit in there, and they'd be like, "Yeah, you get free phone calls while you're in booking," and I'd stare at the phone, like, "So, yeah." You know what I mean? I'd just stare at this phone, because I had no one to call. I had no one that cared, and I had burned every bridge. So, I'm ready to go to prison, right about, and the judge... I go in and I'm looking at county time, and what happens is I thought I had time served, and I said, "Judge," she said, "What do you want to do?" And she said, "You got treatment or you got jail?" And I said, "Send me to jail." And I was 19. Jail sounded like a good idea. And I'd actually just, if I'm not mistaken, I'd just spent my 19th birthday in a cell there. So, gotcha. And what happens is they said, "I'm going to split your two charges, and I'm going to violate you on them separately, and send you to prison." And I was like, "Send me to prison," because at that point in time, at 19 years old, I had nothing left. I didn't have any friends, and I had everybody that cared about me, and I'm pretty sure a lot of people wanted to kill me, because I had robbed people that definitely were crazier than I ever thought about being. And I wanted to go to prison, because I figured it was better than what I was doing. And that's where I had gone. You know what I mean? I went from a guy who wanted to drink to fit in with his friends to a guy who couldn't stop drinking for the life of him. I couldn't stop drinking. And, you know what I mean? Like, there was this point in time I was managing this pizza place, and it was awesome. I was, like, managing this pizza place, and I was stealing tons of money, and I couldn't pay my rent. I was stealing thousands of dollars from this pizza place on a weekly basis, and I couldn't pay $350 a month for my rent, because I was an expensive drinker still at that point. I was drinking Goose out of the bottle, you know what I mean, doing large amounts of drugs so that I could drink more, and I couldn't pay my rent. I got kicked out of a house when I was stealing thousands of dollars because I couldn't pay to live. And, you know what I mean, that didn't last long. I ended up drinking well vodkas, and, you know what I mean, $5 bottles of vodka are great for the stomach. And, you know what I mean, that's where I ended up. But I told him to send me to prison, and what happened is the judge was pretty lenient at that time, because I could have went then. And she was like, "If you have anybody who cares about you, anybody that cares whether you live or die, I suggest you call them and see what's going on. And, get a second opinion on this, and I'll see you in court on Friday," which is like less than a week away. So my dad would call around on a regular basis and check and find me. I don't know how you would do it, but he'd find me. And I called him, and I swear the only reason he kept that damn phone number is because he knew I'd call it every once in a while and need money. But I called, and my dad was like, what's great about this is he was wasted, and he goes, go to rehab, you might learn something. And to this day, he has no idea he said it. He doesn't know I called him. He doesn't remember it. And so I did. You know what I mean? I did about another month and a half and of time, and I went to Goodwill, and which is 6 months inpatient. So that's where they sent me. You know what I mean? And I hated AA. I hated everybody around me. And you know what I mean? The only reason I made it through that treatment center was because I was brutally honest. And I was only honest because I didn't care. And, you know what I mean? I'd snitch on myself before I got in trouble. It was really stupid. But what I learned in there is what happened is they said, you know what I mean? They told me about Alcoholics Anonymous. And we had these meetings and these counselors, and a lot of you people have been in treatment. You know what I mean? We all know what it's about, most likely. And if you haven't, you can ask me about it, but it's treatment. You know what I mean? You sit in a bunch of classes, and the best thing that comes out of it is you learn about a 12-step program. I mean, that's the best that ever came out of it for me. And, you know what I mean? I learned that I wasn't alone. And they told me that I needed to find someone who had what I wanted. So I went to San Martin, and at that time it was a sandbox with a bunch of old people sleeping on the ground. And what's funny about it is there is people right now with like 30 plus years that I know of that got sober there. You know what I mean? And I thought it was just you know what I mean? It's like a litter box. You know what I mean? It's just gross. And, you know what I mean? And I walked in that building, and this old guy said that he had spilled more than I drank, and I hated AA immediately. And I was like, I do not want what they got. You know what I mean? If I wanted to get this, I'd still be drinking. You know what I mean? I slept on the ground when I was drinking. So, I didn't go. And this guy, David Bennett, who was dead this day, he's dead. And, you know what I mean, he told me about this home group. He said there was girls here. And, you know what I mean, God rest his soul, I came here. You know what I mean, and I didn't come here to get sober. I didn't come here for a message. I didn't come here for Alcoholics Anonymous. I came here because I was locked up for a long time, and I wanted to see some damn girls. And, I did. You know what I mean? I did. to be honest, a girl greeted me at the door. She's not here anymore. And I didn't hear what was said at the meeting. And I didn't hear a word that was said, but she was here next week. And so was I. And nothing ever happened between me and that girl, but I'll tell you, she remembered my name and she welcomed me back. And I don't care if it was her or what was going on. The truth about it is someone remembered who the hell I was a week after and wanted me back. That was new. And no one had wanted me back anywhere for a long time. You didn't want me to come back in your convenience store because I was probably stealing something from you. You know what I mean? You didn't want me in your car. You didn't want me in your house. You didn't want me in the same swimming pool. You know what I mean? You didn't want nothing. You don't want me near you when I'm drinking. You know what I mean? I'm gonna do something wrong to you, and I'm going to lie about it right when you catch me. Like, hey, you're stealing that. And I'm going to go, mm-mm. That's not yours, and I didn't touch it. You know what I mean? And I'll walk away. I'm that guy. You know what I mean? And I came back, and I kept coming back. I met Ryan, and he had what I wanted, a Rolex. And, you know what I mean? And, you know what I mean? He was young and sober and had borderline cirrhosis of the liver, and that was fucking cool. Ooh, I said, fuck, I'm sorry. So, you know what I mean? And luckily, you know what I mean? And I didn't do this thing perfect, and I, you know what I mean? I relapsed a couple times. I didn't even talk about it, you know what I mean? Luckily, a girl had enough balls to call me out in a house meeting, you know what I mean, around the people that cared about me, and tell people that I was drinking, you know what I mean, like, he's drinking and coming to meetings, not saying a word about it, and she was more vulgar about it, but definitely called me out, you know what I mean, I had to get honest, and then, you know what I mean, I helped with a conference, and I learned to be a man in Alcoholics Anonymous, because I stole from the people I cared about, you know what I mean, rob you blind, and I had to sell my car, you know what I mean, and stand in front of the people that cared about me and say, I'm a thief and I robbed you, you know what I mean, and I'd never had to do that, and I didn't think I ever would have to, but that day, you know what I mean, I became a man in Alcoholics Anonymous, and I learned to care about other people other than myself, and you know what I mean, I know I jumped around a lot, and yeah, I mean, I haven't had the best luck lately. I lost my job of 3 years, which was at a bar, which is sponsors happy about, because now I have to find a real job, and you're all witness to that now. Looks like I'm stuck. But yeah, I mean, but I'm happier when I don't know what's going on. I'm happier when I don't know the outcome. When everything's going good for me, I don't know what to do. And when it all falls apart, I have a puzzle to put together. I'm like, let's do it. You know what I mean? I like when chaos is going on in my life for some reason. It's kind of sick and twisted. But I perform better when it's like that. But, you know what I mean? It's by the grace of God, I'm sober today. And, yeah, I mean, I didn't do this program perfect or even near perfect, but yeah, I mean, I did what I could, and I show up to meetings, and I try and tell the truth no matter what, and you know what I mean, I care about other people other than myself, and that's all due to this program. You know what I mean, I came in here and I was hard-headed, still am, you know what I mean, and I don't want to listen to you or your problems or nothing. You know what I mean? I just wanted to do what I needed to do to get what I wanted. And now I realize that what I wanted then is not what I want now. You know what I mean? And for that, I'm forever grateful. You know what I mean? For Alcoholics Anonymous, I'm forever grateful because I deserve to be dead or in jail. The things that I've done to other people in their face and behind their back, I deserve to be dead or in jail. And I'm not. I'm not because I showed up to Alcoholics Anonymous. I did most of what I was told, and I shut up just long enough to hear a message, and that message is the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, and for that, I'm happy to be here. Thank you for your time.